that we have been considering really is connected to pleasure in the heart of God. And when we get a hold of this story in its fullness, it changes the way we begin to think about this story. I want to take us away a little bit back to the Old Testament. I want to take us to Isaiah 53 today. Isaiah 53 is all about the suffering of the coming Messiah. Listen to this. There was no clearer, pointed, greater demonstration of the love of God than the offering of his son. None. You look at Isaiah 53 verse 10, you might sound just a little bit bizarre for the Christmas story. Listen to this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. I'm looking at that phrase this week. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. I love the Lord. And still to this day, that is so hard for me to read. Difficult to look at, and yet the translation actually is meant to communicate something clearer and stronger than this to us. It's in many other translations, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. For a few minutes today, let us try and get our minds around and our hearts open to the radical thing that this phrase is trying to communicate to you and I today. How could it be? How could it be that God the Father would ever find pleasure right here in the crushing and bruising and in the grief of his son? Yet that's what this verse seems to communicate, and it's meant to stop us in our tracks. It's meant for you and I to ask the questions, how and why? Parents among us today, think of the heart that you have for your children, these little children on the screen today. Think of the passion and love we have for them. The passion and love we have for our own children. You know, you fear. We fear for our children. We fear that our children at some point may get hurt. We do everything that we can in life to protect our children from danger. And we repeat these warnings over and over and over again to them. And from time to time, this might only happen in my house, I don't know. But from time to time, my children might roll their eyes at me because they've heard them again. But we do and we say these things because we cherish and we love our children and we want to preserve them from danger. We pray every single day that their lives would be free from difficulty, that God would grant them and give them success, that we would never want anything like what is being described here in Isaiah 53 in this passage. Oh, God forbid that anything should remotely like that happen to one of our children. And that's the heart of the parent. So we have to look at this passage today and begin to say, what could be so powerful, so motivating in the heart of God that he would be willing, even find pleasure in subjecting his son to this horrible thing? What could be in the heart of God that he would allow him to do that? And the answer is this: love. Outrageous, radical, magnificent, faithful, joyous, redeeming love. Hallelujah. And how do we know this? How do we know this was about love? Well, John 3:16, we know it well, says, "For God so loved this world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We can see it again. God so loved this world that he would be willing to do this most radical thing, give his son. You see, God looked down upon the brokenness of this world. He looked to you and I, hey, we were once unfixable, it seemed to be, broken inside, separated from that relationship with God. The one thing that we were created for, to be in relationship with God Almighty. And God looked upon us and His heart was so full of love. His heart was so full of redeeming grace, so full of compassion. He was not willing, God was not willing for the world and you and I to stay in that state. That's what we call love. And because of the nature of our sin, we were unable to help ourselves. I certainly know that I was. We were unable to escape the dilemma that grips our hearts still today. We are unable, or we're unable, to fix our world. God had to move, did He not, on my behalf and on your behalf. God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave. See, God doesn't find pleasure in those particular moments of the suffering of His Son. God finds pleasure in what that suffering would result in. Hallelujah and praise God. This today, we've watched our children perform it. We're hearing it right now. This is a story of absolutely magnificent love. Love we could have never achieve or earn or deserve. It's a gift that must be given to you and I graciously. Have we received it today? God loved us this much, that He was willing to subject His own boy to unthinkable things. Why? Why? Because that one death, and that one death only, the way, the truth, the life, would give life to the many. Has He given life to you? That's the plan. That's the plan of God. And maybe sometime next week or next month or sometime even in the next year, you will, in some circumstance or some location or some relationship, we may be tempted to doubt the love of God. It happens. It happens. Maybe it's in our physical suffering and you wonder why God has allowed this pain to be your experience at this time. Or maybe for some, it's in the midst of a relationship disappointment. Somebody that you loved has shunned you. Someone that you loved has turned their back on you. And you wonder why God, hey, even bother bringing that person into your life. Maybe it will be in a moment of financial difficulty and you have sought to obey God. You've sought to be a good steward of the resources He's placed in your possession, but they seem to be about to run out. Or maybe it's in the midst, for some, maybe it's in the midst of your grief and your loss. And maybe for some, our hearts have been broken this year. We at Moss Vale, we know what Christmas grief is. As a church, we know where you are. We know your pain. We know what you're going through. But He knows. He knows. And believe me, Abba cares and loves us in the midst of our grief and suffering and loss. Or maybe for some, we just look around this world right now and it just looks like evil is prospering. It only looks that way. And we wonder, and maybe we have, where is God? Where is the love of God today? And maybe for some this has been our argument. Well, this is the place to run. Because listen, not only does the giving of Jesus argue today for the magnificence of the love of God, but it argues that our God will continue to love us. His love will not diminish. His love will not die out on any level whatsoever. I love the words of Paul in Romans 8 verse 32. I'm sure you do also. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. Listen to this today. This crushing that Isaiah talks about, this crushing has to do with the suffering of Jesus. We must understand that every moment of the perfect life of Jesus was suffering. The suffering Savior. He didn't just begin to suffer on the cross. His whole life was one of suffering. The birth in the stable began his suffering, then fleeing into Egypt. He suffered every day as he subjected himself, the Prince of Heaven, come down to the harsh realities of life in a broken, bruised, and fallen world. He daily felt the pain of that. But for Jesus, there was also this emotional suffering as well. That's the grief word that we experience. That's the deeper pain that many of us have had to endure. When he is despised and rejected, and that emotional suffering reached a crescendo on the cross when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment when the Father turns his back on the Son. Paul is arguing if God would subject Jesus, willingly give Jesus in that way to you and I, will he not also give us everything else that we need? Hallelujah and praise God. It would make no sense. This is how I see it. It would make no sense for God to do this radical thing and then turn his back on you and I in our greatest moment of need. That would make no redemptive logic whatsoever. And so Paul argues that our guarantee that God will always be faithful to those who love him and seek his face. He will be with you and for you and in you and meet every single one of our needs as we walk through this life journey towards eternity. Your guarantee is the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If God, listen, if God really did this for you and I believe 100% he will meet all of my needs. All of my needs. Listen to this. This is for someone. This sentence is for someone today. The importance of believing in the sovereignty of God is precisely because life right now doesn't seem to make any sense to you. This is the full implications of the Christmas season we are now celebrating and enjoying. It is the ultimate demonstration of faithful love. And if God would give his son Jesus in this way, will he not also deliver everything that you and I need? This is the place for me where rest heart is found. Right now. Isaiah 53 verse 10, the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. That's the plan. The plan was that a second Adam had to come. We know in the beginning the first Adam failed the test, so the second Adam had to come. We know that Jesus was that second Adam. Jesus had to be willing, yes he did, to live in the middle of these harsh realities, the temptations of life in a broken, bruised and fallen world. Jesus had to be willing to be obedient in every single way, in every thought, in every desire, in every word, in every action. He chose to willingly obey God in these things. Jesus must be obedient, was obedient as he goes to the cross. We know today, do we not, that we serve he who is called Yahweh, God, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who now carries my sins and your sins, who has now satisfied the anger of God, so that today, this Christmas, the great gift, we get forgiveness. Praise God. Not only forgiveness, but the greater thing is acceptance into the family of God. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Righteousness has been given to you and I through Jesus Christ and eternal life. That is the amazing plan that has been laid before us. You see, I had a problem that I couldn't solve. I have a problem, it's called sin. I had a sin problem I couldn't solve. And we discovered this in days gone by. We can't escape it in ourselves. We can't defeat this by ourselves. We can't redeem the world by ourselves in its fallen condition. You and I needed to be rescued. We needed to be redeemed so that we could be then restored. Hallelujah. That's why there is the promise of a Savior, and that's why the Savior is so precious to us today. And so from day one, listen to this, from day one, that little baby was destined to die from day one. Listen, the cross isn't a moment of defeat. The cross is not an interruption. The cross of Jesus Christ was always the plan. He came to be the Lamb. He came to be the offering that would finally satisfy God's anger. Check out the second part of Isaiah 53 verse 10. It's important we see that. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. That, in that one cruel death, life, we've heard, would be given to the many. Many. And they would be a great worldwide family of every language group and of every location on the globe and of every period in history who would be given new life through the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he would have an offspring like the sands of the sea. What an incredible plan that God set out before us. One death, innumerable lives given. Life to others. And he shall prolong his days. Now understand this, that sentence there, he shall prolong his days, to a Hebrew person, long life was a sure sign of blessing. And this little phrase, he shall prolong his days, is a hint that the death of Jesus wasn't actually, hallelujah, the end of the story, but that Jesus would live on. You never heard that. That Jesus would live on. You've gone to sleep. You need to come awake. Here we're seeing a prediction, yes, of his resurrection. He's coming alive. But a prediction of another thing, that Jesus would live on in the hearts of the many. You and I, that he is new life as a person. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives where? In me. Praise God. He gives life to many. And then it finally says in verse 10, the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. What an amazing phrase. You see, when God placed this mission into the hands of Christ, did he not put it in good hands? He put it in good hands. Why? He knew his son would be faithful. He knew he would do everything the Father asked him to do. And in doing so, would provide for us not only eternal life, but eternal hope. Eternal hope. I'm still excited that Jesus was faithful. He was willing, listen to this, never for even a brief moment was his heart fickle. Never for a brief moment did he reconsider. He accepted this severe job description with joy. With joy, and through him today, the work of the Lord prospers. And now for some of us at Christmas time, you know, I do know, and we as pastors here, we've had to endure. We've had to come through some stuff. So we carry your grief alongside you, whatever that looks like. For others, maybe I don't know. And perhaps the Lord doesn't need me to know all the things that some of us are carrying today. I don't know, perhaps, of the hardships we're facing. Maybe I don't know the full extent of the grief that is in some of your hearts today. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't know the temptations that you are struggling with today, but I do know this. I do know this, that at some point you and I will be tempted to wonder where God is and what God is doing. So I say to you this morning here at Christmas time, I do know that there's an enemy who would whisper in my ear, in your ear, where is your God? Where is your God? You've obeyed thus far, so far, this is it. Where is this thing called grace? What does it look like? Hey, where is the power of God? And Isaiah 53 verse 10, I believe for you and I this Christmas can arm us in these moments. God's love is magnificent. It is radical, it's faithful, so powerful, so willing that he would be pleased to give his son to a cruel suffering and cruel death. Yes, he did. So that you and I, this Christmas time, would know life in all its fullness. And if he would do such a thing, is it conceivable that he would then abandon you and I in our moments of need? No. He will not do that. See, rest won't be found for you and I today in understanding. If Peter's in the room, I'm going to get him to come at this time. Rest is found, listen to this, for Christmas. Here's my gift. Rest is found in the pleasure of the Father and the willingness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, there is no better demonstration of the love of God for you and I than the free gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And perhaps in our moment of doubt at this Christmas time, or fear, or hurt, or for some discouragement, I say this to you, don't run from this one. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Run to the love of God. Would you stand with me today?